Turn with me in your scriptures this evening to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, and verse 13. Tonight's lesson will be number 373 in the series of the exposition of the book of Proverbs. And the title of it is A Deaf Ear to a Needy Cry. A Deaf Ear to a Needy Cry. Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The subject matter before us this evening in this text of Scripture involves our duty before God to show compassion and empathy upon those who are in need. And in doing so, we'll divide the text into two divisions. First, a description of the person who has no heart or no compassion for those who are suffering. And then secondly, what's in store for that person as their future life unfolds. The obligation before us this evening in the passage deals with not only extending a helping hand, but a hearing heart as well. A feeling heart. Because we hear the cry of the poor, we are to hear that cry with sympathy, get it right here, and cheerfulness. That is, our attitude toward helping the poor ought to bring out sympathy, and our giving ought to be done cheerfully. Not that we have to give begrudgingly that when we help the poor, but it ought to give us a cheerful attitude to know that we are participating in something that is pleasing unto God. This proverb is true for all generations of men in all localities. It's not just limited to the Old Testament people of Israel, but it is a universal proverb. If you will turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, though, chapter 15, you'll see that God did give this instruction of remembering the poor when Israel was to take possession of the land. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and beginning in verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren, that is, a fellow Israelite, within any of the gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanteth, or that which he lacks. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of the release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught or nothing, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. This is a matter that's not left to neutrality. It can actually involve a sin of omission. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. That is, you should not give it with an attitude. Well, boy, I really hate to do this because I could use this money or this help, and it's going to take time and energy and maybe finances, but I know that God expects me, so I'll do it. No, don't let your heart be grieved when you're helping the person in need. verse 10 on, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, to thy needy in thy land. Verse 11 is a passage in which that is referred to by our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He said, the poor you have always with you. And that's taken from this text right here. So God is careful to instruct the people that he's going to bless them by giving them a prosperous land, a land flowing with milk and honey, cities already built for them to go in and take possession of. And yet they are to be careful to not forget to remember the needy and the poor that go into the land with them, and let that be a practice in the years to come. So sympathy is to characterize our giving unto the poor. Look also in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 9 and verse 7. Paul dealing with the collection for the poor saints there in Jerusalem, coming from the Gentile churches, but going back to help out the poor saints in Jerusalem who are suffering greatly under persecution. And beginning for our purposes tonight in verse 7. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Not a grudging giver, but a cheerful giver. One who takes delight in being able to help. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Sympathy and cheerfulness should characterize our giving when we have the opportunity to do so. When the cry or the need of the poor comes to our attention. Now the stopping up of the ears implies cruelty and insensibility. I have a chronic problem that I developed when I was about 17 or 18, and that is a severe problem with earwax. I struggle with trying to keep the ears clean myself, and about every 3 months I have to go to a doctor and have them cleaned out. And it affects the ability to hear. The passage here is talking about the stopping up of the ears. But the stopping up of the ears, meaning the hearing of the cry, becoming aware of the needy, really is associated with the hardening of the heart. As the heart is hardened, then the ears are stopped up. What hardens the heart? Covetousness. Loving our possessions, our time, our peace, and not wanting to get involved with those who are truly in need. And the covetous heart has an impact in the metaphor upon the hearing of the ear, that is, to being able to be sensitive to needs that are around us, and people just walk right past and don't pay any attention when they have a hard heart. They don't hear the need or the cry of the poor. An example of this is seen in the 10th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 10. and verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest, religious person, that way, and when he saw him, he passed on by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, priestly tribe, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what?
Compassion
on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus now asked, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go thou and do likewise. 2 religious people instructed in the scriptures could not have, in their profession, have never come in contact with the duty to take care of the poor. This went with the training of the priesthood. And yet here are 2 religious people who were no doubt looked up to by their fellow peers as being godly. And when they came by and saw the need in the ditch, one didn't even stop, the other one stopped a minute, and both of them went on their way. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why didn't they stop? Why didn't they take time? Wasn't because that the cry wasn't there. It wasn't because that the need wasn't there. But probably multiple reasons. Well, I don't want to get involved. It'll take some of my time, and I got a busy schedule ahead of me. Important things to do. I've got a Bible study to get to. Haven't got time to take care of this poor person. I got an important thing. I got a Bible study where I'm going to teach all these people about God. And in doing so, went right by the application of what anybody that studied the Bible ought to know. It's more, my hearers, to teach the Bible. It's more than to hear the Bible. But the Bible must open our ears to the cry of practical Christianity. And this is one of those aspects of it. Now sometimes, though, it may be our duty to stop our ears. What do you mean, Pastor? Because the law of God does not countenance the trade of begging with all of its pathetic cries and appeals. You remember Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that if a man doesn't work, what? Not to eat. He may cry and cry and cry, but if he's unwilling to work, the cry is to be ignored. Considerate discretion should be used in directing our charity. To contribute to the poor in their begging states, that is, the idle poor, the ones who will not work but yet beg, however compassionate it may seem, may actually encourage and participate the person to continue on in their begging. So discretion must be used. And this is not an easy thing. some very difficult. I think I have shared before with the body here in 45 years working in the Lord's work and pastoring many, many times and having hundreds and hundreds of people come by the church with requests for help in various ways. I've yet to have one person take time to write a letter when they got home and express thanks. Many of them were just panhandlers. I think I may have told some of you the story of after a church service one night when I was pastoring here in Birmingham. A fellow was standing at the back of the auditorium, and I knew we were going to have another request. So after the church service, well, I went back there, and I said, "How can I help you?" He said, "I need some food. I'm hungry." And I said, "Oh, all right. Do you have a job?" "No, I lost my job." "Well, how long has it been since you've eaten?" "Well, it's been a day or two." Reverend, he learned the ropes. I said, "All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to send a couple of my deacons with you, and they're going to go down here to the grocery store, and they're going to get you $10 worth of food. You can go in there and pick out what you want. We'll pay the bill." He said, "Oh, no, no." He said, "I want chicken." And I said, "Well, we'll get you a chicken down there. You can go down there and get it." He said, "No, church's chicken." I said, "Sir, you see the door? Go through it and don't come back here again." 2 weeks later, I came off the off-ramp there at the base of where the church was that I pastored. And guess who was standing down there at the bottom of the ramp? This same fella. And there were about five cars in front. And so here I'm stopped and he's coming back and asking for help. So I rolled down the window and he said, "Can you help me? I'm hungry." I said, "You remember me?" "You're the preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yep, I'm the preacher." And I said, "You're getting nothing from me this time either. This is your profession. May God reward you accordingly." Now, it didn't take a whole lot of discretion in that case. But there are a lot of people who live like parasites off the goodwill of others. But what we're talking about here is a genuine, valid situation of a man in a ditch and two religious people knowing what their duty is, and they shut up their ears to the cry. No compassion, no cheerfulness in being able to help. They had more important things to do. We ought to consider it a privilege, not just a duty, but a privilege to be able to minister to the poor, to have an opportunity to participate in. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it is said of Him, He went about doing good. This sin of neglecting the poor was, of all people, that which was charged to the patriarch Job by his so-called friends. They came and they interpreted that he's suffering, therefore he must be sinning. And no doubt he's sinning in that he is not taking care of poor people. He's a wealthy man, got all this money, and yet he's not taking care of the poor, and that's probably the reason why God's judging you, Job. Look in Job chapter 22. 22nd chapter of Job. Eliphaz is one of his critic friends. His theory is that Job has sinned. Beginning in verse 5. He asked, "Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty men, he had the earth. Mighty man, he had the earth. Speaking of Job. And the honorable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. That must have hurt Job. Because Job was a compassionate man. And yet one of his friends says, Job, you have no heart for the poor. Look also over in chapter 19, or rather 29, Job 29. Verse 16, I'll go back up and let's begin back up in verse 12. Job's going to defend himself against this charge. Because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. He's looking for how he can be of help. The wealthiest man in that whole section of the earth. And he's interested in poor people, in helping others. And yet, his religious friend is charging him that he hasn't done this. Look over now in chapter 31. Job continues his answer. Verses 16 of chapter 31. If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eye of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless had not eaten thereof. For from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have girded her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my own shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone. If I'm guilty of this, and I have not taken care of the poor as my duty is before God, and that which I delight in, then tear off my arm. I'm not lying. So here is a sin that is charged to Job for which he was not guilty. It was a sin of omission, not doing something to damage someone else, but failing to help someone else. Well, I haven't killed, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. What have you done? What have you done? How have you been involved in the ministry of those who are in need? Look over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Here now we begin to see some of the consequences which flow from this sin of omission. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Find it here in just a second. Jesus speaking, then shall he say also unto them on his right hand, left hand rather, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Sobering thing. God says, if you show no love toward the cry of the needy, there's going to come a day which you're going to cry in need, and there'll be no love shown to you. And in this scene, it's the last judgment. So this is critical. Not that this is that which merits our righteous standing before God, but it is an identifiable mark of those who are in a right standing with God. It's gratitude. If God has done such great things for us in salvation, a marvelous thing, then is it not appropriate for us to help someone else out who is in need? Can you think back in your own life, how long has it been since you have helped somebody in need? They're crying, well, I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody that's in need. Could it be the calloused heart has got the ears stopped up? Would it not be appropriate to start out our day, Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today? Help me to shine. I think there is a song to that effect, isn't there, Bob? Make me a blessing. God, bring somebody across my path today that I can be of help to, because you've been such a help to me. You've blessed me. Make me a blessing to others. No, God will stop his ears up against the cry of those who have refused to show compassion on earth. One passage stood out with me in the preparation of this brief lesson this evening. And I want you to go with me to the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke 16, very familiar section here. Verse 19. The account of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs, or the garbage, which fell from the rich man's table, that is, what the rich man didn't eat, why he threw out for the dogs and whatever. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You usually find a lot of dogs when you throw out your garbage. So, nothing makes me more happy after I've taken my garbage down to the road to go by there the next morning and find that the dogs have turned over the thing and scattered it out all over, and then you got to get down there and pick up all that stuff, because the people who come and get it, they won't do that. Dogs are associated with eating garbage. Here's a man that he had good clothing, good food, and yet there are beggars around. And he has no time for him. Verse 22, came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all of this, etc., etc., we know the rest of the story. What jumped out in my mind as I was meditating on that this afternoon? Here's a man who wouldn't give a crumb to a beggar and was denied a drop of water in the world to come. Jesus says, as you meet or give out, so it would be given unto you. A man who had all kinds of wealth and could be of help in ministering to the cry of the beggars, those truly in need. And yet he had no heart for him, had no ear. His ears were stuffed up. And yet when it came time for the day of reckoning to come, when he cried out, not a single drop of water to relieve his torment. Sobering, is it not? Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself, but shall not be heard. James in chapter 2 and verse 13 says, he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Final text this evening, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, an exhortation now. Colossians 3 and verse 12. An exhortation from Paul in a context of showing the fruit of conversion, the fruit of being in union with Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness, or perfectness. How should the elect be dressed? What's the garments of the elect like? What clothes the elect of God to identify them as belonging to that chosen segment, that remnant out of Adam's race? Mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. That would certainly include showing mercy to the poor. I could only conclude, although I hope that I would be wrong, that those two religious people that did not stop to help the man who's beaten up, I would hope they're not in hell today. But they bore all the resemblance of not being one of God's elect. Their ears, Brother Asa, were stopped up to the cry of the needy. Let's close in prayer. Father, take these thoughts this evening, the many duties that you've laid out for us, summarizing every command in your word of loving you with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself. May vital Christianity be that which manifests us. And as we're brought into the path of those who have needs, as we are able to do so, may we seek to relieve those needs. In Christ's name, amen.